lot of people have gone up to camp at Morningstar, but it's good that you're here, and I'm trusting that you will be blessed as I have been blessed preparing this message. A very interesting, but I always feel very at home here. My wife would love to come with me, but she helps at Cascades Gospel Chapel in the worship service, so she can't make it, but she feels jealous because I feel so much at home here. Sometimes maybe I feel too much at home, and maybe I go too much one way or the other way. But anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to be a part of Park Crest, and let's continue to pray for the day camp coming up shortly, and I'm sure that the children in the neighborhood will be blessed by it. Now, Coca-Cola is the real thing. It's the real deal. Did you say Pepsi? You like Pepsi better than Coke? No. Coca-Cola is a real deal. Now, I wanted to have a Coke here, open it up and drink it, but my wife said, you can't do it because that'd be too much theatrics. So I won't do it, even though I was going to do it. But Coke is the real deal. But I want to say another thing, even more important. Jesus is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal. Now, it is so important to realize that. As it says here, true or false, Jesus is the real deal. You can't get around it. There's a lot out there saying, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. This person's the real deal. That person's the real deal. But I'm going to tell you today from the Word of God that Jesus is the real deal. And I want to talk about Him. Because today there's so many people talking about different things that's not really true. And we're going to be looking into this. Now, I have to say about these studies that you're enjoying, the more we put into, the more you get out of it. So at home this afternoon and during the week, read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, because next week you're going to be hearing about that from David Jones. So we have to prepare ourselves. We have to put something into it to get something out of it. And I would even like you to go home this afternoon, as I say many times, and go over what I'm saying is, am I right? Look up in the Bible and say, listen, I think we should challenge the speakers. People challenge me quite often because I always say that I would appreciate if you have any comments on my message. And I've been wrong. I have been wrong. Yeah, me, can you imagine? But my wife and I, of course, we never argue, I tell people, because I'm always right. This isn't being recorded, is it? No good. But you understand what I'm saying. If I say something and you don't quite agree with it, come and tell me, because I might use this sermon again. I do that sometimes. I use this sermon over sometimes. Sometimes it fits in. So please put more something into it, and you're going to get lots out of it. Now, this morning, for instance, we were blessed by a brother. I won't name him because he told us in the morning service that he woke up this morning with a Bible verse. See, he is impregnating his mind. To wake up in the morning and listen to Micah talk to you is a blessing. So I encourage you, and we're going to say this over and over again today, to really verify what people say and how they say it, because we're going to see from scriptural principles that there's a lot of not truth out there. Now, this is the way. It's in the bulletin. This is borrowed, so you can't invent the wheel. I did not come up with this. This is something that I borrowed, but the inside is not nothing to do with this. But this is what that I'm going to go by. So look in your bulletins, follow along, and it gives it the, for instance, August the 19th, 1 John 4, 1 to 6. Spirit of lies versus the spirit of truth. What is the truth? Then we're going to go into the second part of it, hearing the word of God. Hearing the world is versus hearing God. Are you ready? Good. We're going to go. Danger. There's a lot of danger out there. There is a lot of danger. How do you detect false teachings? How do you detect it? The internet is full. Do you know, before I prepared this message, I think I listened to four or five messages on this passage. People like John MacArthur, people like John Piper, people like Stanley, and others like that. And then I read a bunch of messages. I impregnate my mind. I want to, the whole last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about this and praying about this, and I listen to one or two that, más o menos, plus o moins, that, you know, it's not quite biblical. And you've got to be careful, because there's a lot out there. There is a lot of false doctrine. And the message today is to help all of us determine the scriptural soundness of anything we hear. Is it biblical? Is it really from the Word of God? Is it in the Word of God? Is it teaching from the Word of God? This is our rule book. This is our manual. This is what we should try to live by. That's what I try to do. I goof a lot of time. Many times I put my big size 11 in my big mouth and I make lots of mistakes and I have to apologize. But I'm trying. I'm trying to live by this book. And that's what we should all try to do. So how do we detect it? Well, that's what the scripture is all about. Because there's a lot of wolves out there dressed in shepherds or in sheep's clothing. As you can see, it's a wolf. You like those pictures? I love video. You like? And we can go all day like this. But this says right here, it says, beware, watch out for the false teaching. They come to you dressed in sheep, as sheep, but on the inside they are devouring wolves, Matthew. They look so nice. They have all the terminology that we use. They have all the singing and the praising of God. And they have their bands and they have their orchestras and they have their speakers. And they're very, very, very interesting to listen to. But we have to test whether they're of God. And we're going to see that in the scripture reading this morning. Now, in Acts chapter 17, there was a group of people called the Bereans. Now, the Bereans, it says in the Bible, now the Bereans, Jews, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great energies and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Let me read that again, and I'm going to put my name in there. I dare to do so. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great energy and examined the scriptures every day to see if it was true or false. We have to examine. It says in the Bible to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. Search the scriptures daily to find out if what people teach you is true. Do we do that? Or do we just sit there and say, yeah, that's nice, that's nice. This person's interesting, nice, nice illustrations, this, that, and the other thing. We go home and we shut the Bible. I encourage you to go home and read these six verses. Every time you read it, the Holy Spirit will talk to you if you're serious about knowing the truth. The Spirit will talk to you. How many times I've read the Bible and I've go, wow, I've read that 100 times and I've never seen that before. I've been preaching for over 50 years. And every time I read Scripture, it's not boring. It's not up. I can read, I can read Shakespeare. I can read some of these books, but they get boring after a while. But this is live. This is the word. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And this is the truth. And as you read this, people got after me when I was younger because of my background. I wanted to go to Bible school. And they said, no, you can learn about the Lord in the local assembly. But I had a desire. So what I did is 40 correspondence courses. Because I'm good? No, because I wanted to know more about Jesus. And then I went and got my bachelor's degree. And they said, you don't need it. And then I went and got my master's degree. I don't need it, they said. But I got my doctorate degree. Why? Because I wanted to be Dr. Ron. A little bit more respect, please. I am Dr. Ron. No, but I wanted to know more about Jesus. And every time I get into Scripture, we learn wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us very much that examining the Scriptures is so important. We are so privileged today. I just put on my iPad and I put on my iPhone. I put the messages. I'm studying Acts right now for Cascades Gospel Chapel. And so I put Piper's messages on it. So I'm driving down the street, the road, and I'm listening to Piper. Or I'm listening to MacArthur on my phone. Get a good Bible program on your phone. We just heard about that this morning, how important that is. So let's look at the Scriptures, okay? You want to open up the Bible, your Bible. Follow along in your Bible. I've got it up here, but I'm going to read it. But follow along in your Bible, because and if you don't have your Bible or you don't have your phone, if you've got your phone, open up your phone, look at the phone in First John chapter 4, 1 to 6. I'm going to read it from this particular translation, which is a New Living Translation. It's not a paraphrase. It's an actual translation from the original languages. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit has come from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. If someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge that truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you hear is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you, beloved of God, my dear children, look at the tenderness of that, tenderness, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listens to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his scripture. It says here, in John chapter 10, verse 5, it says very distinctly, But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger. And we're referring to a shepherd. Notice that. They will never follow a stranger. Sheep will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to us. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through the Word of God. That's why it's so important. People have asked me, why have I been a Gideon for 49 years and given out literally thousands upon thousands of Bibles in many different languages in 75 different countries? You know why? Because I believe this is the voice of God speaking to us today. This is the inspiration by God Almighty, by the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of 40 different men over 1,500 years. 66 books, all united in one. Woo! That's something exciting to tell the world about. There's no contradiction. Every time somebody gives me a contradiction, they say it's a contradiction, I can show them from Scripture there's not a contradiction. False sheep. Shepherds. I like this one here. The wolf found the shepherd's clothing worked even better. I mean, a lot of wolves, false teaching is covered as a sheep. But there's a lot of so-called shepherds out there that are not preaching the word of God. They're preaching New Age, or they're preaching this, or they're preaching that. This morning as I passed by the SkyTrain coming here, there's two people out there. And they're preaching. They're teaching. They're giving out literature. But it's not from the word of God. Do you know, did you get this in the mail? Islam. The Islamic people are going door to door now telling about Islam. Did you go to the conference 3 weeks ago? There was thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses. They had a big conference here. Did you go? I didn't. But there's all these things that sound so good, sound so wonderful, sound so close. But we're going to see from Scripture, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the real deal. And I say that reverently. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People say today, well, the word shepherd is a protector. The false shepherd is a destroyer. And the false shepherd destroys the Christians, destroys the church, destroys the family. People say, well, Ron, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Everybody is negative today. But you know, and when we read in the Word of God here, we read in John chapter, 1 John 4 and 4, greater is he that is in you that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're part of the family of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. I was talking to a Jamaican man the other day on the street when I was talking about Jesus. And I said, you know, when I was in Montego Bay for 2 months preaching and teaching and working with Dr. Billy Graham, I said, I learned a song. Now, I won't sing it because I know some of you would leave. But, you know, it goes like this. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man. You know, anyway, he is the winner man. Jesus, even though I can't sing it right, he is the winner man. And when we're on his side, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us positive. It's a positive thing. It's not negative. It's not hopeless. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Jesus Christ is the one that we are to turn to. It's so important. The love and protection of the Holy Spirit are with you in all spiritual concern. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. We have him inside of us, helping us, encouraging us. Yes, and sometimes it gives us a kick in the pants. At least I need it. Sometimes, you know, you do something wrong. Oh, you know, it's as if he kicks you in the pants. But he's real. He's there. The same Spirit who dwelt in John dwells in each of us. The writer of 1 John chapter 4, the same Spirit lives in us. But we have to allow him to work through us. We're not robots. We're not robots. So what is true? What is false? I like this picture here, this illustration I really like. How do we know what part of the street or road to safely drive on? Now, if you're driving down the road here, we're going down here, and we're in Canada, we drive on the right side, right? So we know what side to drive on thanks to this yellow line, right? Are you with me? Right. And as we travel from city to city or from province to province, we keep on the right-hand side because that's the safe side. This is only an illustration. And if we cross that line, boom, we get in an accident. But it's the same thing spiritually. And the message that I'm giving today is to show you how biblically, spiritually, that we should stay on the right side. Now, what is right? What is wrong? Have you got a bill, $5 bill on you? Anybody got a $5 bill? I got my money. $5 bill. I want to show you something that was taught me by Jesus. Zach, don't loan me that 20, will you?
Carol Summers' father and his daughter goes to 10th Avenue. And he was a banker. And he told the people in the bank, don't study about false bills. Study a bill that is real. Look at that bill. Study that bill. Get to know that bill. Get to feel that bill. Get to see that bill. And if you know what the real deal is, you won't accept a false one. We spend hours and hours and hours studying about Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and all these other things. But let's study about Jesus. Thank you for that, brother. But you got the picture? We've got to study the real deal, Jesus. And as you impregnate your mind, as you fill your mind, this from a banker who was a banker for 45, 50 years.
I believe it was the Royal Bank. I don't work for them. I don't get any publicity for that. But that's what he said. Study it. Look at it. Look at the markings. Don't spend hours and hours studying all the falseness of a false bill. But if you know the real thing, you'll know what a false is. Just an illustration of what? The spirit of truth. Yes? Test the spirits, said. Spirits of lies versus the spirit of truth. There's so many lies out there. And I'm not a negative person. You know me by now. That's why I'm saying, as you study the real deal, as you study about Jesus, as you study the Word of God, you're going to know that that person over there that says, well, yes, Jesus was a wonderful person. Oh, he did wonderful things. He was a prophet. He healed the people. He did this, he did that. But you know, he's really not God. Red flag. Because my Bible says that he was God, and we're going to see that. So I don't have to study about the doctrine of Jesus not being the real deal. I just have to study the real deal, and then I know what he's talking about. John began his portion of his teaching by clearly stating that we have to test the spirits. Test. Just don't take it for granted. Oh, but he's a nice guy. Oh, he has a wonderful family. Oh, he's good in the neighborhood. He's a fantastic fella. But is his message that he's teaching, is it biblical? I trust that you'll be able to test the spirits even better. Yes? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Now, he's not saying don't trust nobody. Do not trust nobody. We are to trust people, but we're talking spiritually now, and we're talking about the Spirit of God working through us to show us that that fellow's message, even though the lights are beautiful, they're flashing, and there's umo, smoke coming up, and wow, what a message. Oh, is he on fire for the Lord? But is the message biblically? So how are we going to do that? Well, we better get in the message. But you know, the Bible tells us very distinctly that for our strength is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers of authority, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You know, I used to, when I was young and preaching, I was more energetic, and I used to take my coat off and throw it on the ground. I said, come on, Satan, come on, I'll take you on. It's not a physical. Those days I was in form. I could probably punch him out and kick him in the head and everything else. But it's a spiritual thing. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So even though the Satan is a spiritual and he's rusé, we say he's tricky. He's like a serpiente. He's like a serpent. You know, and he just comes in, you know, but there he comes as a nice person, a good person. Yes, we have to be careful. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but indeed they're not sheep. They're wolves. Jesus, John warns us about this. And he claims that many people speak on behalf of God, but they're not of God. Heresy. In the time of John, there was a lot of heresy. There's a lot of false preaching. There's a lot of people trying to do the miracles that Jesus did. And it's the same way today. It's the very same way today. No, it's very much like, for instance, metal. For that reason, John calls us to try. T-R-Y. What other words do we have in that verse? Try the Spirit. Test the Spirit. Do you have any other words in your Bibles there? Test the Spirit. Try the Spirit. Examine the Spirit. Pardon me? Any others? Now, it's like metal workers. It's like anything in the industry. Just as a chemist performs certain tests to determine whether or not a metal is what it appears to be, or whether it's a false alloy, so followers of Jesus must test the spirits. And the sciences do it. Try the spirits. Test the spirits. Make sure they're of the Lord. And that is so important. And this is what they do with just metal, for instance. They test it. They bend it. They put it under fire. They put it under heat. They put it under microscope in the industry. And this is only one product. Before they put a car on the road, they test it over and over and over again. So that's what it says there in chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them, or you must try them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Now let's look at verse 2. But try the Spirit. Try the Spirit. Prove the Spirit. Test the Spirit. These are all different words that you could use for that particular thing. What's this in verse 2? Though simple, the test is both fundamental and profound. What does the prophet believe about Jesus? That's what we have to. What does the teacher, what does the prophet, what the minister, what does the pastor, what does the priest, what does the rabbi, whoever's giving the message, what do they think about Jesus? Before anyone can legitimately claim to speak on behalf of the one true God, in essence, what defines a prophet, a person must ascribe to Christ his rightful place as full equal with God the Father. What do they think about Jesus? His rightful place is fully equal with God the Father. His rightful place, here it is. His rightful place of full equal to God. And that's what makes the difference. The deity of Christ. The deity of Christ is the make or break. It's the make or the break of all teaching. It can break or can make. Is he or isn't he a prophet from God? Is he really a true preacher of God? It might look good, it might sound good, but is it of God? So it's all about Jesus. And he's the one that makes or break the separation, the false religion from the true. To be sure, there are many other important doctrines. But the essence is, you know what the Bible says? And I'll just read it to you here in 1 John chapter 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. It says right in the Bible, his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5 and 20. Write it down. So important. That's what makes or break a true believer in the Bible. They've all got Bibles. They walk down the street with a Bible. And a lot of them use King James Bible. And a lot of them even use the New International Bible. Wow. So ask them, what do they think about Christ?
they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, equal with God, God himself manifest, Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate it at Christmas time. I know it's hard to understand. How can he be man? How can he be God? He is fully man and fully God. By faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to get into the word of God to get that faith that will concrete our beliefs.
It's the Bible is the answer, not anything else. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And that is so important. We confess, in the Bible it talks about confessing Jesus as Lord. And the Bible also says in Titus, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glorious of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Let me read that to you again. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior and our God. So important. So important. Because he's the real deal. The real deal. The deity of Christ. That's what it's all about, really, the deity of Christ. Note that several cults, such as the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, use language that seems to be suggesting they're subscribed to the deity of Christ. But a closer examination reveals they do not accept his equality with God. So I don't apologize for naming these two particular groups. I'm not putting them down to put Christianity up to Christianity because they call themselves Christian. But it's not biblical. I've read the literature. I know they come to my door and I say, hi, how are you in Quebec? Bonjour, comment ça va? In Argentina, hola, que tal, como estás? And I'll say, yes, and they'll start talking. I say, well, let's look at John's Gospel. It says in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Oh, no. They said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. A God is not in their Greek, me in our Greek, New Testament. And when I show them, I pull out their New Testament in Greek, and I say, look, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, not a God. Oh, wow. I mean, they got to go back and check with the authorities. Just that one little word shows that they're not, they're wolves. Because they're saying Jesus was a God, not the God. And that's not biblical by any stretch of the mind. So that covers the first section, but the full deity of God, the full deity. Hebrews 1:8 says, But of the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous sepulchre is the sepulchre of his kingdom. Hebrews 1:8. But of the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So we've touched these. Test the spirit, every spirit, agree with the one truth. The one truth is that Jesus is the truth. As I said before, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Nothing mass, nothing menos, nothing more, nothing less. He is the truth. Well, let's look at the second part. It's just about finished here. Hearing the world or hearing God. Now, what is it? We're going to look at, if not of Christ, it's the Antichrist. And greater is he that is in you that is in the world. If not of Christ, it's in the Antichrist. This is called, the professionals call it the scandal of the cross. Because if we don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that Jesus Christ was buried, and that he rose the third day, if we don't believe that, we can't call ourselves Christians. Jesus did that for us. There's no alternate view. This is why people say to me, Ron, you're discriminating. You're a bigotist. You're one-minded. Yes, so I wish there was another way, but there's only one way. We used to say one door and the same. But there it is, right there. In essence, the world perceives the Christian premise as scandalous because it cannot accept any alternate view. I can't. I wish I could. You know, we have story after story in the Old and the New Testament. You remember that lovely story, Naaman, the leper? He had to go into a muddy Jordan River and duck 7 times and to come up, be healed of leprosy. He wanted to go to a more nicer water, maybe a nice lake, Lake Galilee or something. But there's only one way. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can only be saved through the grace of God. And the grace of God is that He gave His only begotten Son on the cross for your sins and my sins. And we are to accept that, and we are to preach that and teach and tell other people about it. They're dying out there. And they're going to call you a bigotist. They're going to call you separatist. They're going to call you a lot of other things, which I won't say here because I wouldn't be invited back again. They call me everything out there in the world. I was a lifeguard for 30 years, and I threw out the lifeline many times to save people. I pulled people out of the water by their hair. That's not politically correct, pulling the hair. But I tell people all over the world that Jesus Christ is the only way. And that's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. And that's what He calls us to do. And that's what we should do. John's declaration, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So important. So important. Do you believe it? If you don't, you can believe it today. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if you became a part of the family of God, because Jesus is the only way. Not by works, not by studying theology, not by going upstairs on your knees, not by saying three of this and four of that. All you have to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, come in today, come in this day, come into my life, Lord Jesus. And He'll come in. I did that 63 years ago up at Amble Island. And I'd do it again if I didn't already do it, but I only have to do it once. Because once saved, always saved. Once we're in the Father's hand, nobody can pluck us out of His hands. And people are teaching that. But that's false doctrine. People are saying that you can lose your salvation. That's false doctrine. People say that you have to say Abba Father a million times and then you'll get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical. There's a lot of things out there that sound so nice, but not biblical. So you are to test it. Look it up in the Scriptures. That's what we are told to do. Is it truth or is it a lie? It's truth. The simple reality is either Christianity is a lie or it is a truth. There's no in between. You can't be on both sides of the fence. You can't have a foot on this side of the line and a foot on this side. You've got to be 100% for Jesus. I challenge you to do that. It is so exciting life when you do it. Sure, you get spit upon, you get called names. You know, I could give lots of examples. Slap. Sometimes you get a slap in the face. Sometimes people will talk bad about you. But our responsibility, our job, our ministry, our calling is to present that Jesus Christ is God, the Messiah. We have a fellowship at Cascades Gospel Chapel every Saturday. About 100, 120 people come to Cascades. They call themselves the Messianic Jews, which means that they're Jewish people who have accepted the Messiah, which is Jesus. I accepted Him too, and I encourage you to accept Him. Yes? Walk daily with the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God, and that is so, so important. It's all about Jesus. You're going to say, boy, I'm getting tired of that preacher. He's always talking about Jesus. But He's my best friend. He walks with me. He talks with me every day. You're going to say, you're nuts. Talking. Yes, because I read the Scripture and He talks to me through the Scripture. Some people say, well, Jesus never talks to me. And I ask them, well, what do you do? Do you read the Bible? No, I'm too busy. Well, how can God talk to us? And Jesus talks to me through you people too. Through Christians. Yes. And people say, Jesus doesn't talk to me. I say, where do you fellowship? I don't fellowship. I don't need to fellowship. I don't have to go to church. But the Bible says that we are not to forsake the meeting of ourselves together. We are to attend a local Bible-believing fundamental evangelical church. That's what the Bible says. So we can have fellowship. Because when you talk to me, like our brother got up this morning, he talked to me. He talked to me. He talked to me personally. I was sitting here. He was sitting over there. And he stood up and he brought out his phone. Most people say, put your phone away. I tell people to bring out the phone. He got the phone and he shared from the Word of God. And he talked to me. Now, if I had stayed at home today and watched the football game, it'd be interesting. I don't know if it's a football game, but we are to meet together. Yes? Jesus is the only way. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power, not on our own, but by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to say no to Satan, to say no to false doctrine, to say no to the world. We have that power in us, but we must allow that Spirit to work through us. And that's by reading and studying and sharing the Word of God. God's truth revealed. The Word of God is God breathed. That's what it says in Scripture. God breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God. That's why I read it. That's why I give it out. That's why I study it. Now, you don't have the possibility of studying 2, 3, 4 hours a day. Of course, you have to work. But give God at least that little 30 minutes, you know? That little 30 minutes of reading the stuff. How many times do we eat? I use this example quite often because I spent 20 years in the Belle Province of Quebec. No, 15 years in Quebec. And we like to eat. We like to eat in Argentina, you know, a nice T-bone steak. Well, I better shut up because it's just about time to finish and you're probably hungry. But in Argentina, you know, we get up in the morning. We have a mate, which is a herbal tea and a bizcocho and a little round bun. That's about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 6:45. And then at about 9 o'clock, we have our breakfast, which again is just maybe a mate with a couple of tostadas and a couple of toast. And then at 10 o'clock, we stop and we have another little break. And then at 12 o'clock, we stop and have something very light, like maybe a T-bone steak with two eggs on top of it with some potato chips around it, you know, something light. And then in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have a little break. And then in the evening, about 9 o'clock, we eat. Yeah, not bad, eh? But how many times do we try to fill our spiritual life with the Word of God? I use that example too many probably, but make you hungry. But how much time do we nourish our spiritual being? I encourage you to get into the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and try to practice it. That's what I try to do. March to the beat. We have a different drummer. Yeah. We have a different drummer, don't we? We are to follow Jesus. He is our drum master. The world follows this. We follow him. The world does that. We do this because he did that. And that's our rule of thumb. Follow Jesus. The Bible, absolutely truth. I trust that this has been encouraging to you and that you will test the Spirit. And when somebody talks to you, just say, what's your ideas about this fellow, Jesus? Well, what is Jesus to you? And if they say, well, this, that, the other, and it's not according to Scripture, just show them from Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are to test, try, examine, Heavenly Father, what we hear, what we read. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do so. And with all the programs on television and with the internet and all the wonderful things on both the television and the internet, we pray that we will test the spirits, that we won't listen to the stuff that is not of you. Bless those that are traveling right now, Heavenly Father. They're probably at Hope by now. We just pray that you might be with them and guide them and direct them. Help Gordy Fuller as he directs the camp up at Morningstar. We pray for Camp 8, Heavenly Father, up at Anvil Island. And we pray for ourselves, Heavenly Father. If we go home, we sit down and have a nice glass of the real deal, the Coca-Cola, and we go over this passage. Heavenly Father, help us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll give you all the glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.